Let us all say amen. Indeed, somewhere down the line, you have to make a decision to follow Jesus. I don't know about you. I've had an exciting past 2 days. I didn't have to do nothing for Caesar. Amen. Didn't have to do nothing for me, but to come and hear words of encouragement to help me as this week starts to unfold. And I appreciate Brother Henry and Brother Jeremiah for the words. There's going to be a great day coming. And I don't know about you, when that day comes, I want to sing hallelujah, praise his name. But you know what I'm learning? Every day is a great day. Amen. If you woke up this morning, and did you wake up? We ain't got no corpses sitting up in here. If you woke up this morning, it's a great day. And then last night, Brother Jeremiah, time. Matter of fact, Paul would say in Romans chapter 12 and round about verse number 13, it is time for us to wake out of our sleep. And that word sleep there means stupor. You ever had some good sleep for a hot second? Oh, come on, y'all. I'm talking about the kind that kind of runs out your... You ever had that kind of sleep? And so last night he said, it's time to wake up. And then he used something that I hadn't heard that we talked about tithing. Have you ever tried to tithe your time for the Lord? Oh, I appreciate last night. Boy, I got so excited that it was hard to go to sleep last night, brother. You know, and for the past 2 nights, talking about the victory we have in Christ and the vision that we should have as God's people. And it reminded me of what Solomon said. In Proverbs chapter 27 and round about verse 17, the wisest man on the face of the earth, the man that had everything in the sight of God, the man that prayed to God, that asked God that he wanted wisdom to guide his people. As a result of that, God didn't only give him wisdom, but made him the richest man on the face of the earth. He comes to the conclusion, though, that everything on this time side of life is vanity and vexation of the soul. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and round about verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the duty of man? Fear God and keep his commandments. But in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the continent of his friend. Very powerful. To know that when we come together collectively and we are able to proclaim the word of God, and it takes us to a higher plateau. And if it don't take you to a higher plateau, check your spiritual pulse. Oh, I might have to preach that right down and down for me, Sister Holman. Because somewhere down the line, as God's people, something ought to make a difference in our lives. I don't know about you. I didn't work all of my life to get to the point to where nothing matters anymore. No, I worked for a purpose. Now that I'm in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, I'm working for something much precious than the physical thing that I worked for. I'm working for a crown that fadeth not away. And Revelation chapter 2 and round about verse number 10, Paul says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown that fadeth not away. Jesus promised each and every one of us that if we remain steadfast and unmovable in our Christian walk, he has a place prepared for us. And I don't know about you, I want to make sure my name is on the dough. Amen. And so this evening, as we look at this lesson, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Paul said, for God made Jesus to be sin for me. And that's how it has to be, church. It has to be on a personal level that where you understand that the God of heaven sent the very best of heaven for you. And when you understand that, guess what will happen? Your life will change. That's right. Your attitude will change. Amen. Everything about you will change. Why? Because you'll understand what Jesus really came to earth for. He came to reconcile us. And I've been reconciled by the blood of Christ. That's why I do what I do, because I understand what God has really done for me in my everyday life. You know, there was a poet back in old England that made many plays. And this particular poet had a saying, and that's what I'm going to draw my lesson from this evening. This poet created many wonderful plays. One of the most famous one was Hamlet. And if you don't know who I'm talking about by now, I am talking about who?
Shakespeare.
And he had a saying, and that saying was to be or what? Not to be. And so this evening I'm going to draw my lesson on to be or not to be. And I'm learning if you're going to be an ambassador of Christ, it requires something. It requires first and foremost that the believer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can't go any further than that. You've got to believe that Jesus is who he say he is. And when you really believe that, guess what? Your life changes. And you know how it changes? It changed because you desire to give him your very best. So you got to believe that he's the Son of God. And when you believe that, you're willing to surrender everything to him. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said what? If any man desires to come after me, do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And I'm learning, Jeremiah, your cross ain't mine. Amen. I had to learn that. I had to learn that the people in the church's cross is not mine. The cross I have is a cross that God has given me, and I must bear that cross. But you know one thing about it? If Jeremiah and I are on the same page, if Jeremiah and Henry and everybody else is on the same page, guess what? We can help one another bear our own cross. That's what moves the church to a higher plateau. But see, I'm learning you got to first and foremost believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John chapter 16 and round about verse number 65, the Bible says, and we believe that thou art sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus said to these 12 men, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is the devil. I ain't got time to deal with that devil there, but it's interesting. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we believe that, church, we're willing to sacrifice everything in reference to do what he says. Not only must I believe that he's the Son of God, guess what? I must obey the gospel of Christ. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, it's important that we understand that in the day of judgment, God is going to hold us more accountable than the alien sinner. Oh, that's the part that really scares me. It scares me to know that the God of heaven want me to do what I'm supposed to do, and he's going to hold me even that much more accountable if I don't do it. I need to make sure that I know the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul reminds the church there about the gospel. And I want to encourage us and remind us that as servants of God, to be a true ambassador, you know what? You got to rehearse the gospel. And you know how you rehearse it? In your everyday life. That's right. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ought to be something we tell people about every single day of our life. Boy, it's amazing to me that we can show talk about the weather, but we can't talk about the man that made the weather. Amen. Somewhere down the line as believers, we have to elevate our minds to the point to where we understand what the gospel truly is. In Romans chapter 6 and round about verse number 16. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. Whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness, Paul says, but thanks be to God that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Somewhere down the line is God's believers. If we're going to be true ambassadors, to be a true ambassador, You got to really understand what the gospel is. It's about the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know what? These passages of scripture that I'm saying here, these ought to be passages of scripture you ought to know by heart. You ought to be able to quote these passages of scripture by heart. Why? Because it is the gospel of Christ. How can you tell somebody about something if you don't know? Y'all quiet. Don't get quiet on me. Huh? Somewhere down the line, when we believe that we are true ambassadors, we rehearse, we practice the message. And the message is that God gave the very best of heaven to reconcile sinful man back to himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 1. This is the message that you and I should be saying to those that are in the world. See, to be, this is what we need to be. Paul says in verse number 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I, I'm talking about to be. Because to be, you ought to know what you need to be. He says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I have received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. See, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is something, church, we ought to know by heart, and we ought to be able to demonstrate that and to rehearse that to men in which we come in contact with. See, to be a true ambassador, not only must you believe, not only must you know the gospel, but guess what? You must be busy about kingdom business. Boy, I'm afraid we're so busy in everybody's business but God's business. And I got caught up today, forgive me. I got caught up in 202 on my DirecTV, CNN. Come on, y'all, work with me. I got caught up in that mess. And I said, you know what? That's what you want, Satan. You want everybody to get so caught up that you forget who owns the world. Jesus holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Should I worry about what's going on in Washington? Now don't leave here and misunderstand me. No, don't you be no fool. You may make sure you know what's going on. But the child of God should never have to worry about anything on this time side of life. Who controls life? No, Washington. Huh? Huh? Who controls life? If God controls life, why should I have to worry about anything? In Psalms 51 and round about verse number 50 and following, the psalmist said, God said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But before he said that, he said, I don't need a goat out of your pen. I don't need a bull out of your stall. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. So if we serve the man that owns everything, why do we walk around so fearful? Why do we walk around with no hope? Church, I don't know about you. To be, and you know, and Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, that's the question. So to be an ambassador of Christ, we must be constantly concerned about the lost. In Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse number 1, when Jesus comes into this coast, he comes up on Zacchaeus, and he finds Zacchaeus up in a tree, and he tells him, come down, for this day salvation has come to your house. And you know what the church folk were doing? Ooh, he's going with the sinners. No, he said he didn't come to call the righteous. You better read your Bible. Jesus didn't come to call me. He came to call the sinners to repentance. Luke 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. See, to be an ambassador of Christ, not only must we be concerned about the lost, but guess what? You got to withdraw yourself from some things. I'm learning one must keep himself free from the cares of this world. Is that hard to do? Somebody say yes, because if you say no, you lying. Yes, it's hard to do. It's hard to stay on track. But see, that's why it's so important that we come together. Iron sharpens iron. It lifts the continent. It lifts the individual to a higher plateau. So if you've been missing in the past couple of days, you've been missing something. You know what you've been missing? That sharpening. That's right. And see, when we sharpen one another, Satan leaves us alone. He got to find somebody that ain't sharp. Amen. And you know what? As long as we stay rooted and grounded collectively, he cannot bother us. That's why it's so important to be an ambassador of Christ. That ambassador must keep himself free from the cares of this world. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 27. Back up to 25, James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? You got to bathe yourself with the word of God. Psalms division 1 verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, see, my delight used to be in KFC until they raised the prices. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And the psalmist said, it's in that law that he meditates day and night. And when you meditate day and night, guess what? The psalmist said, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaves don't wither. Why? He's planted by the rivers of water. You know, that's a spiritual application there, whether you know it or not, because Jesus is the living water. And I'm learning that when you hook up with the living water, you don't never have to worry about anything. The hair may get gray, the wrinkles might come, but thanks be to God, I got a place eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. So therefore, I don't get old, I just get better. Hey, somewhere down the line, church, to be an ambassador of Christ, you got to ask yourself a question. Am I really to be what God wants me to be? I must learn to keep myself from the cares of this world. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 2 and round about verse number 15. John would write these words to remind the believer that you don't get caught up in the cares of this world. Because when you get caught up in the cares of the world, the love of the Father, it's not in you. Look at what he says. 1 John chapter 2 and round about verse number 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't have time to deal with that, but that's pretty powerful. If the world dictates to you more than your Savior, you better ask yourself a question. Am I really to be an ambassador? See, because a true ambassador understands that the world does not dictate to him. That's why when it's time for kingdom business, no other business is important to me. That's right. You can call me from across the nation. Give me time to get there. I'll be there. Why? Because it's important that I understand what kingdom business is about. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world is the three things that was in the garden. All that's in the world are the three things that Jesus had to face in Matthew chapter 4. All that's in the world is the three things that hinder you and I in our everyday life. He says that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I told you. I'm going to leave here one day, but guess what? I'll abide forever because I will be in a place where there's no more death, there's no more pain, and there's no more sorrow. See, to be an ambassador of Christ, we must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must obey the gospel of Christ. And then we must seek the lost and remind ourselves in seeking the lost, you were once lost. Huh? Have you forgot that you were once lost? Oh, I forgot. You've been in this thing long enough so you don't remember that. No, no. That's one of the Satan's biggest things is to get you to forget where you come from. And not only that, we must learn to keep ourselves free from the cares of this world. And then when we do that, let me show you something. We must be the example. We must show and be the example of love itself. That's right. We live in a world that needs some L-O-V-E. And I'm not talking about lip service. I'm talking about the love that comes from God himself. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, our example of love, first and foremost, must start in here. Amen. And I'm learning that when we love one another the way God loves us, you don't have to say anything else. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By the love we have for one another. To be not an ambassador of Christ. Hope I said something this evening to encourage your heart. Short and sweet, short and sweet. And I hope and pray that as this week starts to unfold and you look forward to the first day of the week, that you remind yourself somebody's looking for Jesus. And they ought to be able to see him inside of us. Someone needs to know that in the midst of all the trials and tribulations I face, there's a way that I can approach the Father and he can give me comfort and security on this time side of life. If you're here this evening and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.